your man.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4th of 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What's up, War Room family? The generals are back in the building, and you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table by my partner, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams. I'll be Austin to probably be with us a little later. The World Cup is over for the USA team, Jimmy. The NBA draft is behind us. NBA free agency is here, and we'll discuss it all, but before we do that, we have, of course, while you are on the grind, and some birthdays to get to, so make sure you join us right now in that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Quick note, during the week, at your leisure, make sure you visit WRSPN.com or our main site, warroomsports.com, and listen to some of the best talk radio the Internet has to offer. Sports, lifestyle, culture, entertainment, everything. The War Room Sports Podcast Network has it all. You can hear shows such as The War Room that you're listening to right now, The Broad Street Line with Roy Burton and Chris Domingo, Sports Trap Radio with Brandon Pemberton and Anthony Green, The Tissue and the Tape Hip Hop Podcast with Phil Wilson and Savad Davis, a whole lot more, man. You got soccer podcasts. You got everything. You got women talking basketball. So make sure you get over to the network. Check everybody out. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication on Sundays and Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern time on fatsradio.com. That's P-H-A-T-Z radio.com. What's good? Yo, did you catch the BET Awards?
Come on, no.
I'm just asking because social media was like on his head that night and the next night. So it's like if you didn't watch it, you really didn't have to watch it because everybody was tweeting and Facebooking blow for blow everything that went on.
Yeah, I'm definitely not into the Coon Show. No disrespect to those that watch that. I mean, that's your thing, and I'm not going to sit here in front like I'm little coonery, you know what I'm saying, because I do watch Love & Hip Hop at Atlanta, so... But the thing is, there's only so much cooning you can take, so I'd rather just watch that, you know what I'm saying, take the fake story as opposed to the award show.
An award show for the coon. The problem I have is watching social media and watching how many people say the exact same things that we're saying right now, but they watch. Like, they're saying this while watching the show. So I'm like, okay, if you hate the BET Awards, if you think it's a minstrel show, if you think it's a coon show, then why don't you just stop watching it like, you know, pretty much we have a long time ago instead of watching it just so you can get these jokes off all night.
Man,
you still invested your time.
I'm not with, like, the self-righteous thing of, like, judging other cats. I mean, I'm lying. Yes, I am. But, I mean, still, like, I understand the need to have a little coonery in your life, but there's only so much coonery you can take. You dig what I'm saying? So I have to be selective with my coonery. Whether it be within whether it be within movies, you know what I'm saying? I got a coonery.
How often do you go around bashing your selected coonery while you're watching that selected coonery?
Yo, I'd rather bash like my friends that are actually watching the coonery because they worse than the people on TV. But with that being said, man, it's like, yo, people have different coonery levels. For instance, I haven't went on the World Star Hip Hop in years. Like, first off, why do you even still call World Star Hip Hop? What's hip hop about it? It's a bunch of fights. But that's why, like, the coonery level got so high, it used to be hip-hop on there, and now it's just, you know, a bunch of fights or what have you. So, you know, so I have to keep my coonery level to a certain extent, man. Like, and I choose to watch Love & Hip Hop because I think it's hilarious. Outside of that, you know, I don't think it's too much more coon than I watch. I listen to some coon music. Not a lot of coon music, but some coon music. You know what I'm saying? I keep it a bean, though. I know when I'm watching or listening to coonery. I hate when people try to act like I don't be watching this, but yet, like you said, they comment on the whole time. Like, yo, just keep it
blow,
a fuck.
Vote
I,
for blow.
Yeah.
Commenting on the joint.
I don't be watching Housewives of Atlanta.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, Austin, is the, so you don't take in no coonery. There's no coonery you partake in for your entertainment purposes.
Dude, don't watch TV.
He
don't watch no games. Oh. You don't even watch that coonery that is the NBA.
Yeah, NBA, well, you know. You watch sports, you watch coonery. There's some coonery you watch, Austin. I don't care what you say. I mean, you a Too Short fan.
I'm innocent. Yo, he reached. You got to find something.
Life is.
So I am a
Too
Short fan.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? A little coonery right there, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it is what it is.
There was a lot of people who seemed like they were just watching so they could, you know, bash the show. I'm like, okay.
You know what, though?
That's
like a trend now. Like, a lot of times,
if
that's
I feel
why
that
people
way,
watch
I'm just not going to watch. I'm not going to invest my time if I feel that way about it.
I know. I respect what you're saying, but, yo, it's even that way with sports. A lot of people could care less about, you know, the athletic achievements or even the competitive greatness. Is
they're just
like,
watching LeBron to see him mess up.
They're watching
the last shot, Mario Thomas.
It's all about the slander. Like, Twitter has turned us into, honestly, a bunch of mad rappers. It's the whole world. We sit there and we make ourselves feel better about, like, as a group and as a community, disrespecting other people. So,
just,
I mean, that's what it all boils down
to. Things to make memes.
More or less, yeah. Pretty much. That's what it's turned into, yo. So it's kind of that's why people now have adopted the second screen. Most people don't watch TV without either their smartphone, tablet, or PC. And the second screen allows
gotta
you to criticize and kill people.
And like,
while,
like,
you know.
Like you're saying, like, this country is definitely not invested in soccer as much as the rest of the world. But there was like 150,000 Tim Howard memes after that game. So, I get what you're saying. All right.
They don't even know what position Tim Howard plays.
Well, let's talk about what happened this week while you good folks were on the grind. And hopefully, since there is a holiday tomorrow, your grind has been cut short for the week, but I hope you get your whole paycheck. I don't know your situation, but good luck with that. While y'all were on the grind, brought to you as usual by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket that you will need in a little while because the NFL season is getting closer and closer, make sure you go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. All right, while y'all are on the grind, this didn't happen. I think this may have happened like last week, but we never got to it. Alicia Montano, she runs the 800 at the Nationals at a track event. But what's crazy about this whole situation is this woman was 34 weeks pregnant, which is nearly 8 months pregnant. She ran the 800 meters. She wasn't really trying to compete. She ran at a leisurely rate. I guess it was just a feat to say that she could do it. Doctors not only gave her the okay, they kind of encouraged her to do it. What do you guys think about this?
First off,
let me be the first to speak on this because I do have an affinity for track women, and I did run a little bit of track, and I can say that she's faster than me pregnant at 8 months than I am right now unpregnant. So I salute her for her achievement. I think it was tremendous. I think it was amazing. And, you know, she did run a slow time. And the thing that she said was all I wanted to make sure was that I wasn't going to be the first person to get lapped in the 800 of all time.
Yeah.
And she did not get lapped. So,
I'm like, how did she even qualify for this? Like, was it the qualifying race a long time ago or something? Or wasn't this the qualifying race?
It was an open race. It was an open race, so anybody could theoretically.
I have nothing really slanderous or even congratulatory to say to this young lady. It, you know, shout out to all the feminists out there. You know, they want to. Let me keep that quiet. I'm gonna chill on that one before we get in trouble. But all I want to say is this: the visual was just crazy. You know, it is an accomplishment, but the visual was just crazy. Watching this chick who looked like she was about 18 months pregnant, like running around the track. Like, the visual out of pocket. I don't know.
You said that, Jimmy, though, but what really was the accomplishment? I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'll let you say that. They can come after you.
I got a whole different take because, you know, my wife has been pregnant before. When she was pregnant, I treated her like a glass vase. Vase, base, however you know, if you pronounce it the bougie way or not.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell I'm allowing her to run around no track in a race 34 weeks over my seat. Not going to happen, man. Like, come on, man.
it's a little different, though, Jeff, because this young lady is obviously a world-class athlete, number one. Yeah. Number two, she never stopped training. And if the doctors examined and said, it's cool, you run this one little jump because you've been training, even if she hadn't been running or competing at a high level, she probably never stopped training. And one of the reasons that she looked so pregnant was because most women gain weight that kind of matches the belly. Yo, she gained literally no weight anywhere else on her body except for the belly. That's why it looks so huge. So she was in a different level of conditioning than most pregnant.
What did they really give her the okay to do? I mean, she was 120 laps behind. I mean, 120 meters behind the last person for all of the race. So it was like, just you can just show up and jog because you're pregnant, and you know the guys from the war room are going to talk about it. Like, besides publicity, what was the point?
Nothing.
You're in the race to try to win.
I support you.
That's that new America, man. Participation trophies, man. And we're going to talk about that a little more when we talk about the U.S. men's soccer team.
Oh, no.
But
let's,
if she deserves a salute.
I'm not for that.
All right, but if she deserves a salute for jogging around the track pregnant, then salute. I just don't get it, but... And like I said, like, you know, if Brandy even expressed any interest in doing something like that, it's not going to happen. I just look at that as being a very, very delicate condition. I'm sure the doctors, of course, know way more than me, but...
I mean, and then when you read into it, they say...
Not their seed.
It's good for the baby and all that. Like, that's all BS, man.
I hear walking is good for the baby, but you in a race? Really?
She could have jogging and made her man a sandwich.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on. Actually, the feminists might not like this story either because Texas Tech, a freshman cornerback, so he didn't get to play for the team yet, he punched another student in a pickup basketball game on campus and was dismissed from the school. His name was Nigel Bethel II. He's a freshman, you know, from Miami, so you know how they kind of get down sometimes.
Oh, that explains the whole story.
Yeah,
but
there it is.
The student that he punched in the pickup game was the star basketball player on the women's team of Texas Tech. He punched
didn't
her like
she lead,
what,
didn't she lead the
what
team
could've...
in scoring?
Yeah, she led the team in scoring in like 16.5 points a game. Her name was Amber Battle. Punched her in the face. I mean, she had to get surgery, but she has to get surgery because she has a broken bone in her face. So he punched her like on some serious, not like stop playing, get away from me, or you know.
He hauled off.
Let's speculate.
He hauled
Let's
off
speculate.
With the cowards.
He will start. First off, I just want to say
why
that
just happened.
When I read it, she was giving him 1099s, W-2s, vacation days, you know what I'm saying, some AL days. She was giving him the business, and he got mad because a woman was actually doing these things to him on the court. She probably was talking trash. Young man, you are a coward.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Shout out to my man DJ Willie G, but I keep telling him for some reason when things like this happen, It's always like somebody from Florida, yo. I don't know what's in the water down there. Like, but Florida is off the chain with the people they produced to come out of there. And yo, he probably
doesn't
even know.
Hey Jim, two things about that. If DJ Willie G heard you say that, he would get offended because of the Florida slander. But if he had video of it, he would have posted it on his Facebook page. So.
Oh yeah, he's good for posting.
Can't have it both ways.
Shout out to DJ Willie G.
My thing is, homie
is the second, so that means there's a first, and his dad is either not involved in his life or is a subscriber to the church of Ike Turner.
So you're saying this is learned behavior?
Yeah, it's learned.
I mean,
behavior.
He is a freshman.
His pop wasn't dead.
He's a freshman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he might just be on campus early for football practice or whatever. He might not have known that it was a chick. Like, he might not know the rest of the university like that. Like, he might have thought this boy was running off at the mouth in the pickup game.
He thought it was Brett Griner. My man Brett Griner.
Yo, I got another statement to make about this, too. You know, because it was the school, what was it, Texas Tech?
Texas Tech.
I bet you if this was Alabama, we'd have never heard about this story. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like,
well, they'd have wrapped that up. We'd have never heard
about this story. It just happened at Bama. He put on a Bama football team? Yeah. I mean, that's all I'm
saying. He was a high recruit, too. He was like one of their top recruits. So, yeah, you're right.
So, shout out for Texas Tech, you know, for protecting their women, man.
All right, so let's talk about Alden Smith, because we rapped about this story a few weeks back when he got arrested.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yeah, he got arrested back in, like, April for making a fake bomb threat at LAX, which is a very serious offense in an airport, especially an airport. You know, the magnitude of LAX, you know, it's a big international airport where a lot of quote-unquote important people come in and out of. He's not going to face any charges for this. The crazy part about it is on July 30th, they're still going to have a hearing just to address the situation. So they're saying the purpose of the hearing is to provide him with an opportunity to give his account of the incident. But I'm like, if there's not going to be any charges, then what's the point of the hearing? They just, you know, want to hear
If I was Alden Smith, just because they let me off, I wouldn't even show up to the hearing. I'd take this even further.
I mean, he still has another hearing 5 days. 5 days before that, he has a hearing for his 3 felony gun charges.
I'll show up for that. You
got to show up for that. You might get some jail time for that. They're going to have to, his jail time can't start in 5 days because he got another hearing for no reason.
Recall that he's a member of a gangster set, the Smith Miller gang. Smith Miller gangsters. he's gotta face those because he could get football numbers for that. So he gotta deal with that. But if you're not gonna charge me, the only way that I would show up is if I could walk into court with no shirt on and a yellow clear cup with yellow liquid, and you know, then I show up. But other than that, I'm not coming.
He might walk in the courtroom with a free Aaron shirt, T-shirt on. So they're saying, like, they're just going to talk to him about applicable laws and give him suggestions on how to avoid similar incidents in the future. So this is like showing up to the principal's office so you can get scolded, but you're not going to get suspended.
Let me ask you, brothers, a question. Right?
You're not even going to get in-school suspension.
Let me ask you, brothers, a question, right? Because we follow sports, you know, because this is what we do, and we have to talk about these cases where these brothers are getting in trouble, getting arrested, punching women, the whole nine. But the fact of the matter is, it's the NFL seems to have the most criminals, right? And is it a matter of just numbers because there are so many players on the roster, so it's just a statistic thing in terms of, you know, having more players to do that? Or is it something about the sport? Or, you know, the drugs or the way they train. Is it something about the sport or is it just a numbers thing?
See, you would think, like, the numbers thing makes sense, the percentage, but then when you brought that other thing to the table, it makes you think, like, well, it's a very, very aggressive sport, and like a lot of this may just be in these dudes' natures. I'm not gonna front. Like I've been around a lot of football players, especially back in college, and a lot of them dudes were just aggressive dudes, like the slap box and play fight all the time. Like, I'm too old for that, man. What you doing? But there could be some merit to that, man. They just got that aggression in their system, and then like you add on the drugs.
As we are NBA athletes, right? Like, for the most part, these guys, they're good guys. They just happen to wear
clean
tight clothes and act
compared.
Think about it. Durant, LeBron, like, they never get in trouble for nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they may like extra yamage or what have you, but for the most part, our basketball stars and players are, you know, are good dudes. Paul.
Yo, the basketball players don't even smoke weed no more.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you look at the NFL.
If everybody
like,
out there saying, what, I'm just joking. Calm down.
You look at the NFL, yo, it's like a whole new breed. It's like, you know, these guys are, like you said, ultra aggressive. I think it's drugs, man.
I mean, and then, I mean, come on. Aaron Hernandez just tips the scale.
Hernandez, like,
he's laying down the murder game.
He took it to a whole nother level, yo.
I mean, Ray Caruth laid down the murder
definitely,
game.
Yeah, Ray Caruth.
He's the outlier.
O.J. Simpson laid down the murder game.
Allegedly.
I definitely think that there's something to what you're saying.
Collins did it.
The aggressive nature of the sport lends itself to a lot of people can't turn that switch on and off. Like if their nature is to be aggressive, if their nature is to be a certain way, there aren't many Brian Dawkinses around. Like, dude sits down and he's a deacon in his church and he, you know, feeds the homeless, and then he gets on the football field and he's a completely different animal because he's not even human out there. But how many of those type of dudes are there? Well, you look at Ray Lewis. You know, there's not – a lot of these dudes are not nice guys. They're more Richie Incognitos than there are Brian Dawkinses. So I chalk this up to just the nature of the game. A lot of testosterone flowing, a lot of steroids, as you said, a lot of drugs. These dudes are crazy dudes.
Well,
and
yeah,
we have a problem with the system.
Like, it may not happen at the time, but I wonder how, because eventually football, unless they make some major changes, which will piss the fan base off, it won't be around. And I wonder, like, you know, maybe 50 years from now, they're going to, like, these guys really did that? It's sort of like a... you know, gladiators fighting to the death. Like, we look at that now and be like, yo, that's crazy. They really did that? but, yeah, that was an accepted practice, just like football is now. So when football becomes outlawed, I wonder how we'll look at it. Like, yo, cats really took a ball and tried their best to hurt each other. Like,
yo, they put on these robot uniforms. Yo,
yeah.
Have you ever, like, yo, the fact that you bring that up, have you ever just been watching football on any given Saturday or Sunday and just, like, kind of zoned out and just forgot everything you knew about football and just realized how stupid that looks? Like, yo, these
Absolutely.
Dudes got on helmets.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You zoned out.
I've zoned out a few times, like, at its purest form. This looks really stupid.
Yo, I agree. I agree. I think the aliens are looking down like, what the hell is that?
Yo,
aliens
dress up
like
robot warriors and then just, like, run into each other. Football is stupid, yo.
I think y'all are going to slander me for saying about aliens, because aliens do exist, yo. That's a whole other story.
Yo,
at a very, very high rate of speed.
Yo,
at a very
great
high
game,
rate of
but
speed.
When you break it down to its purest form, football looks really silly, man.
It really is.
I'm
going to
just put on these. I'm going to put on these cushions and this robot hat, and I'm going to go run into that dude over there.
Because you know what it is? It's like when you look at the sports, there's like a certain art to it. Like, it's like, it's athletic, it's graceful. Like, it's not that in football. Football is so just, yo, it's just, I don't even know how to describe it, yo.
I mean, when you break it
down
to the X's and O's,
you mean to
tell
me
probably the most complicated game out there. But
this is true.
It's just.
For instance, like, we watched that video the other day, right, where Mike was floating and took the backboard down. Like, that was, like, damn near art. The way Mike put the float game on, like, I was like, yo, you know, and I'm a Michael Jordan, you know, I don't want to say a hater, but I keep it real, but, yo, that visual was crazy.
Yeah.
My point is, there's nothing in football football like that. There's nothing in football
like that. I mean,
football
that was
like
Italy, though. That was Italy in the early in the eight. I mean, the late '80s. They probably didn't have breakaway rims over there yet.
Yeah, that was good though. The visual. What I'm saying is, sometimes when you watch like great basketball plays, the visual is just like damn near art. It's beautiful, man. But
he didn't
football,
even react.
Wait, hold on, hold up.
He
hold
didn't
up.
Even react.
Hold
he
up,
just though. Did. He just let it. He just let it rain down on them dudes like he expected to do that, and just ran ran on, jogged away.
That'd be awesome.
Hold up. Are you meaning to tell me that what you saw Barry Sanders do wasn't artistic, man? The way he
he's one in a.
He was running for his life. It looked like a cartoon when like the roadrunner is running for his life. Like, you know,
I mean, he's one in a thousand at least, because I mean, you haven't even seen him again until, you know, glimpses of him with like Shady McCoy, but
right,
he's not the normal brute out there.
Sport, man. And the crazy part about it is, what does that say about us as a country? Because we love it. Like, the harder hits, we love it.
Yep. All right.
I guess
so y'all keep putting on y'all, keep putting on y'all robot helmets and y'all cushions and do your thing.
Robot helmets and cushions.
All right. Last thing on the grind, man, the Rockets. Of course, we'll talk about this a little later because it's one of the teams that Carmelo visited in the last 2 days. But when they brought him in, they had photos of Carmelo Anthony at all the entrances of the Toyota Center rocking a number 7. Jeremy Lin, who makes a good like $15 million a year with the Rockets right now, is currently number 7 on the team. And he must have felt a little disrespected by it because he went to his Twitter account after he heard about
Twitter
it
and dropped a
putting
Bible, verse.
Bible verse, Luke 6:29, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. I'm not really feeling that verse because you ain't smacking me, and then I'm going to tell you to smack me on the other side, and then you're not going to take my coat or my shirt. But that's besides the point. Do y'all think he, well, that's obvious that he feels some type of way. Should he feel some type of way about this? And do y'all think the Rockets are kind of wrong for doing it?
Yo, I mean, this verse we should have quoted from the book of Illmatic, song 1, verse 3. But anyway, no. But seriously, though, that was weak. I mean, there's levels to this,
I'm
man. If they have a chance
like
to get Carmelo, oh, I definitely do. I always quote the book of Illmatic with the song, with the song and verse. That's how you
song
do it. You understand? It's song and verse. But yo, if you have a chance to land Carmelo, who is, I didn't want to say arguably, he's one of the top 10 players in the league. Whether you believe he's top 5 or he's bottom, you know, bottom 10 or bottom of the 10, he's definitely a top 10 player. And Jeremy Lin is not a top 50 or 100 player probably. If you have a chance to land Carmelo, you have to do what you have to do. You have to understand that there's levels to this, man, and you're not on Carmelo's level. It's just that simple, man. This is a business. I saw Devin an argument earlier on our Facebook page, and you broke down so eloquently. You were talking about how loyalty in sports doesn't exist. And
yeah.
I agree with you. And that comes from the team
and
standpoint and also
it
from the player.
Yeah.
And
people talk about
yeah.
they ain't loyal. This ain't loyal. Yo, these teams ain't loyal. But neither, I mean, and the players shouldn't be either. This is
neither
a business.
These hoes ain't loyal.
They ain't loyal either, yo. But you know, this is a business. And as Jeremy Lin, listen, you're making a nice piece of change, which is guaranteed. So, like, why are you quoting that? Just fall back and get your bread.
Well, Maury, their general
I'd
manager.
I'd have paid out the field guy, pay me.
He kept it all the way real, though, because he was like, look, he said the same, you know, it's a business. And he was like, you know, to be completely honest with you, if Carmelo signs here, then Jeremy Lin and somebody else will be traded. This is what the GM said, like, when they asked him about it. He's like, you know, so, you know, I got to be 100% honest, and this is a business, and things like this happen. They were like, when we bought Dwight in, he wore, like, they had him in Patrick Beverly's number or something like that. When you're trying to land the big fish, you kind of do what you have to do.
Exactly.
At the same time, though, the fact that Carmelo is being courted by like 5 or 6 teams who are in the running to sign him, this situation could get really awkward if he doesn't sign with Houston. Then they got to be, okay, Jeremy, everything's cool now. But you can't be in your feelings because you have to know Carmelo gets his pick of the number. If he wants that number when he comes, then – you're short. You're Jeremy Lin, so get over it, man. Pick another number.
Yo, be awesome. What you want to say real
Houston,
quick before I continue my next?
The Houston Rockets lost a lot of their Asian fan base.
True.
I mean,
that's true.
I mean,
that
I
might
agree.
Have cost them some money.
I agree.
It might have cost them, but they're going to trade them anyway if they do land a big free agent.
Yeah,
they already have a deal in place with your hometown Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers will be taking on his expiring $15 million contract if Carmelo Anthony goes to the Rockets. So you can book that.
Well, yeah, and my thing with Lynn is, I mean, if you really want to look at the business side of it, you have to understand that at least 50% of the motivation in signing him was his story and the merchandising that came out of it. It wasn't him as a player because he can't get the starting spot from Patrick Beverley. So he's not really a $15 million a year player. He's not really a $5 million a year player. So, I mean, it's exactly what you gentlemen said. It's business.
Here's what I thought of, right? This comes from it reminded me of the book Walking with the Panther, song 11.
I'm tripping. I meant 8.3 million dollars is what Jeremy Lin would be owed this year.
Well, that's still a nice change. But listen though, Walking with the Panther, song 11, verse 1, when LL Cool J says Brenda got a big old butt. I know I told you I'd be true. The bottom line is, look, man. Brenda got a big old butt, so I'm leaving you. It's like, yo, we can get Carmelo. You're out of here. Who cares? Mm-hmm. And even let's say he signed Carmelo, and then LeBron says, yo, I want to come to Houston, and I want to wear number 7. They're going to put a picture of LeBron with number 7. Because it's tricky. Yo, it's levels to this, man. It's like this in business. It's like this in life, man.
They will probably wrap the arena in LeBron pictures 1 through 99 on his jerseys. You can have whatever you want, dog.
This is what I'm saying, man. This is how business works. This is how life works, man. You gentlemen ever been with a young lady in your previous days before you were married, and you basically she did nothing wrong, but you had somebody else give you an opportunity and you thought she was a better fit. What do you do? You put the jersey on her. Don't disrespect, but
got married.
It's level, man.
I gave her the number one.
No comment.
So he got to get over that because really Carmelo, the only reason he's not wearing number 15 in New York is because that number has already been retired twice in New York. Earl the Pearl and somebody else wore number 15 and got it retired. So I don't know. They should have checked with him though, because when he come to Houston, he might want to go back to 15. So all this Jeremy Lin, they ain't have to diss him. If they did, they do diligence. They might not have had to diss him in the first place. But
he only
when it comes down to it, like, so what? And if they don't sign him and they have to hold on to Jeremy Lin, so what? What, you going to not take this 8.3 because you upset?
Exactly. It's a business, man. Listen, you ain't going to
mad. You mad.
You just mad. Saying that to get you mad. All right. So that's what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. All right, Jim, let everybody
time,
know
gentlemen, to give some
who's having a
birthday shout-out.
A birthday.
For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700 and tell them War Room Sports sent you. Make sure you do that to get the hookup. Now, the birthdays, gentlemen.
Happy birthday. Yay!
Shout out to Larry Sanders, who became a wealthy man due to this gentleman here. Mr. Neil O'Donnell turns 48 years old.
Neil O'Donnell.
Moises Alou turns 48 years old.
Damn.
One of the greatest pitchers I've ever seen, Oral Hershiser, 57, which means I am old AF. Brian Cashman turns 47. And also, shout out to the homie.
Brian Cashman's, his whole allure is fading. Because remember, he used to just be the really, really young guy who was the GM of the Yankees. Now he getting old. So generation behind us going to be like, what's the big deal?
And also birthday shout out to the homie Andy Flynn of Sports Kings, who's one of the contributors to Court Vision on War Room Sports TV, which you can find at warroomsportstv.com, all part of the movement. So salute to you, Andy. Salute to every other one of these gentlemen. And, you know, happy birthday from the War Room. How they can get in touch with us.
All right, everybody, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for that War Report. That's the weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities for your company. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, take your time. Click on the memorabilia tab. Buy some cool War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab. Read our latest articles in the All Fair and Sports and More blog. Click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, where you can have conversations about sports with us every day. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com that Jimmy just mentioned, with Court Vision and a host of other shows. Listen to the network, our podcast network, at wrspn.com, and you can download our free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned on the go, on your hip, when you want it, where you want it. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you don't have time to do that, or you're just a lazy dude, just sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. I'm sure you got one or both of those. While you're at it, click follow. That'll get you updates and reminders about the show every week. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from the Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But if you want to call in and speak with us directly, the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline is open right now. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. So we're going to get into some hot topics, but before we do, Jimmy's going to let you guys know who Hot Topics are brought to you by.
Absolutely. Everyone listening, if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks, kick back, and let someone else do the reading for you. Just go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, because what will happen if you do that? You'll get a free audiobook and get to try out the Audible service, which is amazing. I'm currently listening to the book Divergent. I haven't seen the movie, but started the book nonetheless. And I'm also thinking about starting the Game of Thrones books on Audible, because, yes, they are on Audible. And all you jabronis who've read the books, like, try to ruin the show for me, so I think I'm going to try to go and read the books as well. By the way, that's an amazing show, one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. But the books are on Audible. You can get a free one, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Get you the hookup. You mean?
No doubt. All right, let's talk a little bit about this World Cup. Matter of fact, because last week we got the overview from our international correspondent about everything that was going on. But let's talk about the USA team right now. Of course, you know, everybody knows that they lost. They've been eliminated the other day by Belgium. Tim Howard, epic performance, 16 saves, but wasn't enough to actually win the game. Now, it's a known fact that it was a surprise that USA got out of the quote-unquote group of death in the first place. So there's this sentiment going around where everybody, you know, after the loss is basically praising the team, saying how proud of the team they are. President Obama called Tim Howard to talk to him and congratulate him. I hear that the whole team is going to visit the White House. Can either of you brothers tell me what the hell all this is for? They lost.
I'm going to tell you. The
is
US
the underdog mentality
to
that
be,
serious?
To be, no, the U.S. is so happy to be recognized on the world stage of soccer. They're celebrating just being there as if it's a win. But I can tell you one thing. There's one man in all of this who is not celebrating, and he probably finds the celebration just as disgusting as we do, and that's Jürgen Klinsmann, the German, former coach of the German national team and now current head coach of USA Soccer. He's not feeling all of this celebration. I know he's not. I know
he's not keeping it real either, though, because he's been in interviews talking about how proud of the team he is and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, man, Jürgen.
So if he feel like me, he need to keep it real, because you can't be in my camp if you're lying.
Oh, my gracious. Well, look, I mean, to be honest, we can just really go ahead. We can just go ahead.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
So who's that JoJo to? America as a whole?
Yeah. Yeah.
America as a whole gets a
whole America as a whole. Yeah. You're celebrating being there. You're celebrating. We were there. We went to the World Cup. Yay!
Because truthfully, they won one game the whole time, truthfully. If you want to break it down,
yeah,
they won one game.
They got it. They backed their way out into the elimination round. They backed it off a draw. That's not hot.
Well, they got into the elimination round. No. They got off of into the elimination round off of a loss. They got beat by Germany. So they really backed into the joint. I mean, they laid down and rolled over the line.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and a lot of people out there, soccer purists, will, you know, tell us, well, y'all don't really understand this and that. Well, I have a mentality, no matter whether I'm a soccer purist or not, I just think it's too much. I think the team is being celebrated too much just for showing up. And I think that's that's just reflective of what our society has become. Like we mentioned it a little bit earlier, and we talk about it all the time, how, you know, participation trophies are the thing in kids leagues these days, and it's what we teach our kids early, and now it's showing up in adult sports, and I don't really get it. Like when they strap it up, they lace it up, I expect them to go out there and expect to win. I'm like, I'm not going to put this on the team because I'm pretty sure they're pretty bummed out because they lost. But I think just because we're the underdogs and we're not supposed to do this and we're not supposed to do that, I just think the fans are just taking this too lightly. But it could also be the fact that a lot of people in this country aren't 100% diehard invested in this game. You know, like every 4 years we all can jump on the bandwagon because we only have one team to cheer for. But when it's over, like how many of those 24 million people who tuned in really care about them losing?
All right, now here's
and I
the
can
thing,
say that even for myself. 5 minutes later, I was like, all right, what's on? I turned
I'm
like
keep it,
Seinfeld.
Keep it 1
or
trillion. Yo, I didn't watch any of it. I don't even like the sport. I think it's boring as hell. I didn't watch any of it, nor did I celebrate the team. I don't even know who Howard is, except for the fact that he was on Good Morning America when I was trying to check the weather one morning. But there are a lot of people.
He balled out. I feel sorry for him.
I don't even know what that means in that sport. You know, there's a lot of people who feel the same way you do. And being someone who represents the WRS movement, and we don't accept mediocrity and we are steadfast in the war against ignorance, I could care less about like their achievements because to me they don't have any. I just got a comment on Facebook. Shout out to John. You know, who's listening. John says he's not feeling us giving Neil O'Donnell the birthday shout-out. As a Steelers fan, that bum was built by Jerry Jones and through the Super Bowl. So he kind of feels the same way. Right? Although Neil O'Donnell got his team to the Super Bowl because he didn't win it, he's saying FOH to him. Like, so a lot of us don't accept mediocrity.
Least,
we don't accept
in,
second
in your shout-out, you mentioned that he made a Dallas defender very rich. So, you know, you slandered him a little bit.
Yeah, definitely did. But I'm just saying there's some people out there who don't accept this mediocrity. But I think that as Americans, what I'm starting to realize is we look for reasons to celebrate and throw parties. I think that it goes back to it's something psychologically like, yo, we need to party. We need to gather. So if we start accepting mediocrity, we have more reasons to celebrate.
That's a good point because you know the attitude of America in general anyway. You know, we think that we reserve the right to dominate any and everything, sports included. So now it's like, okay, even in a sport where we are the little man, we're like a mid-major in this sport, we're going to celebrate just because we got to play some big boys.
Like, yo, we
celebrate.
What are you doing? It's like, yo, when I came up, I graduated from, like, you know, from junior high school, and college. Like, yo, they have a graduation every 2 years now because people look for a reason to celebrate, yo. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Yo, I'm celebrating my seventh grade graduation.
Like, who the hell is graduating in seventh
grade? Yeah, that's exactly my point. Yo, chicks, yo, they throw barbecues. Like, oh, you had an abortion? Oh, let's celebrate. Let's throw a barbecue. Like,
y'all know how I feel. I done already talked to y'all about that whole associate's degree thing. Shout out to everybody with associate's degrees because you're doing your thing. You're in school. But
listen, man,
I really don't acknowledge that because when I went to school and I finished my sophomore year, nobody gave me a diploma. So,
yo, I ain't gonna lie, I have an associate's, but it was one of the things where they gave it to me. They gave it to me in the middle of me getting my 4-year degree, so I took it obviously.
But like you said, it's another reason to celebrate.
Yo, but what I'm saying is, man, listen, man, they will celebrate anything, yo. Such and such, you know, got an abortion, let's throw a barbecue. Such and such just came home, let's throw a barbecue. Like, yo, any reason to celebrate, we celebrate as Americans. Like, people graduate every 2 years from school.
Jimmy, we talked about the ratchetness earlier and the coonery and the selected coonery that we do partake in, like Love and Hip Hop. Yo, somebody's throwing an apology party on that.
Yo, apology party. Yo, come on, man. Like,
I have a cousin who just had a reveal dinner to tell everybody what the sex of their baby is. I mean, it happens. People celebrate everything, yo.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what it all boils down to us trying to find a reason to drink and party. So this goes back to alcohol.
Three days ago was National Left Handers Day.
And be awesome. You know what I'm about to go with this? It all goes back to Ronald Reagan, but I'm going to chill on that because that's the truth. Yo, I think I'll be lying. Yo, the whole world changed once Ronald. I'm going to chill, man.
Damn, Ronnie.
Celebration. I have seen vast improvement in USA soccer, so congratulations to the team. But I'm with my brothers on this. The excitement over mediocrity was disgusting.
They're going to the White House though.
This is just indicative of where it is, man. This is where everything
I thought champions
is,
went to the White House. They're going to the White House to get their participation trophies. Come on, man.
Yes.
Winners and there's losers.
Yeah, more or less, man. That's all I got on that with champ. I mean, you know, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to everybody out there.
Does it devalue winning? Does it, like, devalue winning? Is that really the issue with it? I think that's my issue with it. It's like, it doesn't teach people to strive to win.
I think historically we're going to look at all these first losers and not even remember them. Like, a lot of times when you sit back and think of champions in sports, even if it's an Olympic champion or something similar to the World Cup or a sport that has seasons, you don't even remember who comes in second or third for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we don't. But what you're saying, B. Austin, I think that's been the message that they've been trying to ingrain in these kids for a long time now. And I think it definitely devalues winning because I've actually heard kids repeating, you know, the Travis Sham mockery that, you know, coaches these days talk about. Like, well, you know, we were 0-20, but, you know, we had fun, and that's the most important thing. Like, come on, man.
Well, here's the thing, though. Let's
you want kids to have fun, but, damn, you want them to know that winning is
I'm going
to
take this somewhere else from y'all real quick. Let's keep it a theme, though. Like, in terms of the system set up in this country, right, even from an educational standpoint, people are taught and given enough material to become dependent upon the system, to become workers. We don't teach people to become leaders. But what you're going to have is you're going to have some parents who take it upon themselves to teach their kids to become leaders, and all these followers and participation junkies will, you know, end up working and building those dreams of the people whose parents took the time to make them become leaders. The fact of the matter is this is just an extension of what's already been going on. It's just invaded our sports. It's already been in the classroom. It's pretty much been there. Yo, there's some
I don't disagree with that, Jimmy. But
yeah,
right now you're spinning the talented tenth rhetoric. So let's say this. Even at a level where you've got worker bees versus leaders, there was a time when the worker bees took pride in what they were doing, and there was even a way for them to win. They may not be able to step to that next level, but they could win at what they were doing. The
but
way
this,
things
this,
are
this,
now, they don't even
that,
they
that
don't
only,
even win.
That
at
only
their
happens
level.
At Google.
No, but this is an extension of that, B. Austin, because now if you look at society, like if you look at the 1% say versus the 99%, it's getting further and further apart to the point where, yo, you can't win sometimes. So this is just an extension of that. It's already invaded the classrooms. Now it's finding a way to invade our sports. We're going to have a bunch of participation junkies, you know, who won't be able to win. They're already losing, you know, from an educational standpoint. So it's up to the parents, man. Yo, you know, you could build your kid up to be a leader in teaching these fundamentals. But at the end of the day, people don't do that. They let the system dictate what their children learn now, whether they're playing sports, whether they're in the classroom. So this is just, you know, part of this entire system. Shout to Ronald Reagan.
You're giving Ronnie a shout. All right, man. Well, let's move on to boxing. You know, just for a minute, Floyd Mayweather basically announced. I don't know if the official announcement has come out yet, but he announced, and the video I saw, he was actually at the Coonage Awards that we talked about earlier. He was talking in the camera, and he announced that he's going to fight Marcus Maidana again on September 13th. What do you guys think? Because, you know, after the fight, I kind of thought when they were talking rematch, I was thinking that that might have just been, you know, posturing, saying what you have to say in the ring. I didn't really think Floyd should give Maidana a rematch. And it's not because I don't think Floyd basically – like, I think Floyd basically dominated the fight on points. I just
right.
think his wild style and the way Floyd got roughed up, you know, he got cut and all that kind of stuff, you know, even in dominating the fight, I didn't think it was worth it. I think you proved your point, move on. Like, unless there was something you think that you didn't prove, then you do this. But I don't see what's in it for Floyd besides maybe not
apart,
having another opponent to fight. But.
A participation award. This kind of, we can relate this to what we were just speaking about.
How many participation awards be like $50 million?
I'm gonna give him a lot of credit right now as I diss him. I think if Floyd is so technically sound and so great that even in a fight like Maidana, from a mental standpoint, if we look at boxing as chess, once you fought him one time and as you said that he dominated on points, he knows exactly what to do to pick this dude apart, and this isn't even going to be a challenge for him the second time. So instead of giving the people what they want, he's just going to continue to fight these scrubs, which you can say, well, that's all that's out there, that's all he can do. Nah. He doesn't have
to. I think
to
it's dangerous, though. I think it's dangerous.
I know,
I'm not saying, like I said,
wild,
even when you,
he's wild.
When you talk about, you know, him being sound and definitely winning the fight the first time. The fact of the matter was, you know, there were a few moments of trouble. Dude may not have landed as solidly as he was trying to, but Maidana is the type of dude, if he catches you with one shot, you know, that can change the whole course of a fight. So proving your point and beating this guy once, I kind of think that's enough. I think it's a dangerous proposition to give this dude 12 more rounds of a chance to land that one shot because he is the type of dude who can land one shot and basically change the entire fight. So I think it's a little bit dangerous for Floyd. I think you proved your point. I think you should have moved on.
I get what both of you guys are saying and, you know, in terms of being dangerous, but also I agree with Austin as well in terms of, you know, because of Floyd's history, because of how great he is, he may make easy work of him. But looking at it from a fan standpoint, yo, Floyd's out of his mind now with what he charges for pay-per-view. For HD, his pay-per-views is damn near $80. Yo, do you really think somebody going to pay $80 again to watch him fight that dude? That's what I'm thinking about. Like, yo, would you pay $80 again to watch him fight that dude?
That's why it's going to be fight parties galore. Like, because, you know, a lot of times coming up until recently, like me, I'll just sit, buy a fight, and watch it in the crib by myself. But $80? Nah, I don't know about that.
His prices, I mean, Showtime tried to
I didn't pay for this one. That's the thing. I didn't pay for this one. I went to somebody's fight party for this one, and I generally don't do fight parties because, you know, I can't take the, especially Floyd fight parties, because it's going to be like watching a LeBron, a big game from LeBron. You're going to have two sides. They're going to be extreme on both sides, and you don't want to hear that talk all night. You know what I'm saying? You just want to watch the fight.
Yeah.
But so,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so that's what I think about. Like, I want to see him fight Danny Garcia.
Yeah. It's a couple of people out there that you would want to see him fight. So I'm not going to say he's taking this because there's nobody left to fight. He said in that same interview, he said, I'm going to fight Maidana again on the 13th, and in May, I got a surprise for you guys. So who knows what that means. If it meant what people would read into it, that would have leaked by now.
He got to get Danny a Rumble.
Maybe Danny's in May if he, you know, don't get caught with a Maidana bomb.
Or Bernard.
Yo, and shout out to Floyd also for finding a way to make $50 million for doing something you already done.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. That's ridiculous, yo.
$50 million cash.
The crazy part is that we had a long talk the other day, the generals, in terms of boxing and how many great fights there are, but yet nobody moved the needle but Floyd, so we end up talking about Floyd.
Nobody knows. I post
when there's a lot of great fights going on. Like, boxing is seeing a somewhat of a resurgence in terms of just the quality of fights. But
exactly. It's like when Floyd names come up and Pacquiao name come up, everybody's talking about it, and then they're talking about how boxing is dead and this and that. But, yo, I sit down and watch free fights every week that are much better than the fights that we build up and pay $50, $60, $70, $80 for. Yo, I swear, every week there's a free fight that's great. Like the Crawford-Gamboa fight this past weekend was explosive, and I didn't have to pay a dime for it. Like,
and that's the great thing. The crazy part is, part of that is, like B. Austin said, yo, it's like Floyd is so good that he takes guys that have exciting fights, but when they fight him, he's so sound that, yo, it's boring because he just dominates. You can't hit him. It's just boring.
Yo,
but
you
got dudes that don't have the talent of Floyd, and when two of them dudes get together, they go at it.
Yeah, you get them dudes in there because that was a great fight. Last weekend. But like I said, you know,
I'm not hating right now. I don't have the hater lenses on. Am I wrong in saying that I get the perception that Floyd doesn't take risks. He's not a risk taker. Am I off in that assessment?
I think he's trying to do it a little bit more, but I think he's playing himself a little bit because lately he's been taking a little bit more risk, but he doesn't necessarily have to, but I think he hears people say what you just said. So he's been taking a little bit
doing
more.
He's taking calculated risks, put it that way, because of stuff like Jimmy said, because of what you just said. He's going to take risks, but they're calculated. They're going to make sure they do all the due diligence on this risk. He ain't going to just step in there. I mean, because like I said, I've already expressed that I think fighting this dude again, even though Floyd outclasses him as a boxer, I still think taking this fight again is pretty risky just because dude hit like he got bricks in his glove. So I think that's a risk because you get caught with one of them overhands like your young boy did, and you might be going night-night.
I'm laughing at Skyview Kevin, yo. He says, answer him this, yo. Who's the heavyweight champion? It's actually Klitschko, but the question
Vladimir
is still
Klitschko.
No, but you,
Klitschko
but
with
you just name
still
one.
Funny.
You just name one, like it's not like 16 divisions.
Yo, but Klitschko got about three or four of the belts, though. But the funny thing is, between the two Klitschkos, they got damn near all of them except for like one. But I get his point in terms of asking the question because it seems as though boxing goes, the heavyweight division goes, which is sad. But I do
see,
get his point.
I think we should have moved on from that by now. Because like I said, it's a lot of great fights going on in them little dude divisions. The little dudes that, like, if you got into a street fight with them, you probably could, like, bear hug them and toss them around if you didn't get into a boxing match with them. But those little dudes get
in. You know what it is, though? That's because of heavyweights. You rarely saw decisions in heavyweights. It's like, yo, either I'm going to get knocked out or I'm going to knock you out because my cardio ain't going to allow me to go 12 rounds. If somebody gets knocked out.
That's a lot of meat being thrown.
Yeah,
there's a lot of big cats with no cardio, and a lot of power. So somebody
exactly.
No,
dudes are dudes. No,
yo, my man James Tony was nice with the handwork, but after the fifth round, he was trying to go lay down and get some.
He was good as done, yo. And real quick, the one thing I do want to say about this fight this past weekend that made it exciting, yo, that was an amazing crowd. The crowd was getting me hype. And, you know, I was watching in the crib, but the crowd was into it, Joe. And I know people are like, so what? But that actually made the fight way more exciting.
Yeah. But, no, Jimmy, you're right, though, especially, you know, about that heavyweight division. It was always like that.
Hey, young man.
Yeah.
You got knocked the fuck out.
Yo, word.
All right, but, Yo, and the NFL, man, remember we talked about it like a week ago, Jimmy Graham was trying to get classified as a wide receiver so he can get a higher paycheck under the franchise tag. So an arbitrator has basically ruled Jimmy Graham a tight end, so he can kill that noise. He can appeal, but, you know, how much success do you expect to get in an appeal, you know, after they already ruled that nothing
and
happened?
I already told you what.
So, we kind of already. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I watched these dialogues across social media, and I just want to say that no one is wrong from either side, not the Saint, not Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham got a finite amount of time to run around in a robot suit, crashing his body together with other large men. And so he should try and maximize his earning potential and get as much of that money as possible. And the Saints, as a fiscally responsible business organization, should try and pay him as little as possible within reason for the value that they feel he has. If he can get $25 million a season out of them, then God bless him, he should try. And if they feel that he's only worth $7 million, then God bless them, they should try and pay that man $6.5 million. I mean, it is what it is. There's no wrong parties in this. Like,
this is
there's nobody wrong in this. And I'm seeing fans get angry at Jimmy Graham for being greedy, and I'm seeing other fans getting angry at the Saints for not allowing him to reclassify, which people talk about this like it's the first time it's being done, and I had to explain that this happens all the time with outside linebackers from the 3-4 and fifth in the dirt defensive ends from the 4-3.
Defensive
outside
ends make more money than
that. Less. Mm. Yeah, they're always guys like Terrell Suggs and Alden Smith and your boy Vaughn Miller are always trying to get classified as defensive ends because of the money. They do this. They go through this all the time, but this is the first time a tight end has tried to get it done.
No doubt.
I mean,
yeah, so.
Goes back to that conversation we had earlier, man. Like, yo, this is sports. Damn! This is sports, and we do love sports, but at the end of the day, man, it's still a business, yo. It's still a business. So you got to understand that Jimmy Graham's trying to put food on his family, and the Saints are trying to save money.
I just hope that it doesn't cause any bad feelings between Jimmy Graham and the Saints. I hope it's one of those things like B. Austin just said, okay, I tried because I'm a businessman, but, you know, now that they classify me at the position that I actually play, let's play football. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not happy to be getting a franchise tag in the first place, but, you know, I hope this doesn't cause any more animosity between the two sides just because they saw something two different ways. Like, you took it to an arbitrator. Arbitrator ruled in their favor. All right, let's move on, you know. Let's try not to get hurt. Go out there and half-ass it until you get your long-term deal. They'll feel that. All right, but keeping in the NFL real quick before we talk about all this crap that's going on in the NBA, I know 7 retired players, they actually filed a formal objection to the settlement for the whole concussion lawsuit. There was they made up a 58-page critique of the settlement proposal, and they're asking the judge to do what she did before, which is to refuse to grant a preliminary approval. these players are. Sean Morey, you know, remember him. He was a special teams dude, played for like five teams. Alan Faneca, who used to play for the Steelers. Ben Hamilton, offensive lineman, who played for a few. He played from 2001 to 2010. The tight end, Robert Royal. Rock Cartwright, used to be a fullback with the Redskins. Jeff Rohr, who's a linebacker for the Cowboys. And Sean Considine, who was a bust of a safety for the Eagles. They said all seven of these players are already suffering from effects of concussion-caused brain injuries, including episodic depression, sleep disorders, mood and personality changes, and attention and concentration deficits. So they're not feeling it, and they're objecting to the settlement. Not to mention that the class counsel, the lawyers got to split $122.5 million in fees. So the lawyers, I'm pretty sure it's not that many lawyers. So the lawyers came off better in this than the players in the actual suit. So they're upset about that. What do you guys feel? Should they be complaining? Or when you get into a class action suit, should you just live with what your class counsel got for you?
Sean Considine should be paying the NFL for his career. He should be giving money back. That's how I feel about
Sean.
I see a common theme in tonight's show. Yo, it's all business, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, word to Eric Sherman and Parrish Smith, man, but it's always business, never personal, man. And, you know, they got to do what they got to do, man. And the words of Latrell Sprewell, man, they got to feed their family, man.
So, I mean, I don't know. It just seems a little weird to me that you join this class action suit. You know, the class counsel, the lawyers or whatever, get you a settlement, which we all thought was a bogus settlement to begin with, you know, in comparison to how many people are actually in the suit. So I can see their gripe about it, but do you guys think they have any leg to stand on? Will anything change? Or is this just a done deal? I mean, I don't know that much about legal proceedings, but to me, it seems like it's pretty much a done deal. Seven out of however many hundred players were in this thing are complaining and trying to object to it. I don't really think it's going to make that much of a difference.
Not going to make a difference. There's always motions that can be filed. There's always other ways to go back around. But unless you have a solid reason behind using the motions and using the tricks of the trade to get back into the courtroom and litigate, it's going to get struck down based on the prior precedent set by the ruling. And Jimmy, you could probably speak to this even better, having been a member of the People's Court. But it's kind of like these guys can make a big fuss and a big stink, but it's not going to go anywhere.
Yo, I agree. There's nothing else that really needs to be said in reference to this other than they trying, but at the end of the day, man, this is what they signed up for.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You already know. Word to Tomlinson.
All right. Well, you know, I just wanted to run that by you guys real quick. Everybody out there, if you check out our website, warroomsports.com. To call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. As usual, that number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when you're prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. We're going to get into this NBA free agency talk because there's a lot of signings going down. It's a lot of courting going on, and there's just a lot of chatter out there on the wire. So, Jim, you want to?
Absolutely. It's time to talk hoops. And NBA Wrap is brought to you by Fanatics for the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel. Shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Go to our site, warroomsports.com, and just click on that Fanatics logo. It's right on our main page. Or go to our sponsors page. You can still click on the Fanatics logo and get the latest in NFL, NBA, and NHL, Major League Baseball, NCAA, MMA. Get you some Marcus Medina gear, whatever his name is, Madonna. We got some boxing T-shirts. Everything's on Fanatics. Go to warroomsports.com, click on that Fanatics logo, and
We got that. Yep. We also got that USA soccer team gear that
Absolutely. We got that the new clothing line. Second is the First Loser is available on Fanatics. So, you know, cop up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's
like
talk 16. Some basketball, brothers. Shout to Curtis Blow. NBA draft just happened this past week. We were on the air when it started. Let's just talk about our personal teams. Me being a Lakers fan, you know, I am ecstatic. I got exactly who I was talking about for damn near a year now. But as a Sixers fan, what do you think about the direction the team went, which we predicted they would go anyway?
First of all, I think, as usual, I think Philadelphia fans are probably taking everything they did that night a little bit overboard. It's obvious that the team is building for the future as a kind of a plan B if this whole free agency period doesn't really work out for them. Then, you know, you got to fall back on your plan of, you know, and stay the course of building a team. But I think everybody's just so used to seeing everything happen right now. You know, it was easy for the Heat. They just went and got, you know, two more dudes to join their already superstar. You know, there's only a few markets that's going to be able to land big fish like that. So, I mean, and Philly has a lot that they can do during this free agent period if it doesn't work out for them, because they probably won't land any of those big fish. You know, I'm not mad at the course that they're taking, but, you know, fans were going crazy that night. Like, Sam Hinkie don't know what he's doing and this and that. I'm kind of fine with where they went.
What I find funny is, like, the Sixers are making all these moves to, like, shed salary and have all this room. Like, even with the rumors of them getting Jeremy Lin, who has, like, his money who comes off the books next year, it's like, yo, I just feel like they keep building for the future, but I wonder when the future is. Like, are they scouting somebody who's in fifth grade right now? Like, when is this future?
I think it's like draft, you know, young players. But while you're doing that, it's like it doesn't hurt to keep trying to clear cap space, especially if you fail, if you don't land anybody, because it's going to be difficult. I mean, they're going to try to sell people on the youth. Like, you got some good young players here. You got Embiid. You got Noel. You got MCW, and it's something to build around. But a big-time free agent like a LeBron James or a Carmelo Anthony or somebody like that might not have time to wait around for those guys to gel. So you do have to, you know, if you can't land a big fish now, you do have to keep maybe clearing cap space for when – some big-time free agents are going to come out until you throw that reel out there and you actually hook one. If you never hook one, you're hoping that some of these young draft picks that you get turn out to be one of those guys so you don't have to hook one. So, you know, it's that type of game. It's difficult because it's so easy for the more sexy markets to just go out there and cherry-pick the best players in the league. And I don't think a lot of fans understand that fact. Like, it's not as easy as everybody makes it out to be, unless you live in Miami, unless you live in L.A., unless you live in Chicago, stuff like that. I totally agree with you.
And also it's a risk-reward thing. They took a major risk, but if this pays off, they can definitely compete, because if Embiid can be, like, anywhere near what he showed he can play in terms of the level of his play, and also, you know, with the guys they have coming off of injury with MCW, like, they're in the East. You know, it doesn't take much to compete in the East. So, you know, you're talking about having 2 7-footers that, you know, who were supposedly the number one pick to the draft, if not for injury. If they can get healthy, I mean, you know, that's a big if. But, like you said, you got to take chances when you're in a sport in which certain teams, you know, have all the allure in terms of getting free agents, which is why you got to get rid of some. Yo, I can't see no big-time free agent ever in my life saying, you know what, I'm going to sign with the Milwaukee Bucks, or I'm going to sign with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, man, it's just not in the cards for a lot of teams. And even though Philly is one of the bigger markets, it's just not one of the sexier markets right now. I mean, and that has a lot to do with the actual team. But if those young guys that they keep drafting can get – better and be what they're supposed to be, then it will finally look more attractive. I don't know, LeBron might be 70 by then, but
yeah,
you know, a lot of people
like,
had a problem with the trade that they made. when they picked Alfred Payton at 10 and then traded him to Orlando for Dario Saric. People were mad at that because they're figuring he's from overseas, so that's another player who's not going to play this year. But at the same time, they got a future first-rounder and a future second-round pick from that. Like, I just think people really need to realize, like, if you're not one of those sexy markets, then it never hurts to put some stuff in your back pocket because you might have to build this thing another way. You might not be able to build it instantaneously like a Miami or you know, New York, even though it hasn't worked for them.
There's a gentleman somewhere in this country who's in fifth grade who's being scouted right now by the Sixers.
Well, we're going to have enough picks when he comes along. So.
Yeah, they stockpiling picks, yo.
Yeah. Be honest, I'm not upset with it. Then, you know, they picked another the dude from Clemson. Whoever, they were saying he was like a right-handed Thad Young. I was like, well, when everything goes down, Thad Young is one of the most tradable commodities on the team. So they might not be stockpiling the same player. They might be getting rid of Thad Young because he's one of the only people on the team that has some value. People aren't thinking ahead. They're
value.
Just thinking, we got two Thad Youngs now. Like, probably not.
Right. I had mixed feelings about the pick. I think I definitely see the upside.
I'm talking about the draft. You're talking about just the first pick. We had like seven picks in that month.
Well, yeah, I'm going with the first pick. I'm going with the first pick because
I don't think there's anything else they could do with that pick.
Because I feel like that's the pick that means the most on the court right now. So if I analyze that pick and combine it with last year's pick, if things pan out with that core group of players, they could compete in the East. They could end up with a very nice defensive front line. They have a very nice defensive front line. You've got MCW, who I think will continue to blossom if he can just get a serviceable jumper. Man, don't go down the route of Rajon Rondo, man. Get you a jumper, man. Go see a white man that's a shooting doctor and get your mechanics fixed. Get your shot together, man.
How'd that work for Evan Turner? How'd that work for 50 Turner?
It didn't. Oh, shout out to 50 Turner. I saw him in SDK in D.C. Two nights ago. My sister-in-law seems to be a fan.
Why?
I think that we need a shooter. Yeah. I think if we're able to
All right.
Yeah, all right. I guess he's saying there's no hope. He's saying there's no hope, but anyway, man.
Yeah, you kind of faded out, though.
I don't know.
You didn't hear anything you said. I mean, but I think they did okay for, you know, for what they could do. I think they have to put things in their back pockets. And I think everybody's just thinking, okay, we can do this right now. It's easy to do this right now. I keep hearing people saying, oh, we passed up on Kleanthony early. He became the sexy name in the draft. I'm like, all right, come on, everybody, because his name was everywhere. Dude is still on the board for a reason. Man, of course you can get a sleeper, but people took his tournament performance, which was what, one game? And, you know, they're making him the superstar, the sleeper of the draft. Everybody should have got Kleanthony. I'm like, if I hear this dude's name one more time. Like, and I was a fan. Like, I dug what he did in the tournament and thought that he was a pretty good player. But you know how people, you know, that might have been the only game they've ever seen. So then they just start taking it overboard, and it makes you go the other way on it. So that was that situation. I saw somebody on social media say, I'm saying he had one good season, but he did. It was a great season. He averaged 25 a game. Like, dude averaged 16 a game. Like, y'all just making stuff up now. I didn't get it.
That's what social media is for.
Just making stuff up. Let me just make up this stat real quick. Dude averaged 25 a game. Like, seriously?
Yo, that's 9 points higher than his average.
It's just a recognizable name, man. You know what I'm saying? But no one knows how that translates to
the next
level.
Nobody knew his name before that game.
This is true. That's the point. It's sort of like we talked about before when you make your name. Like, you know, it's sort of the Kawhi Leonard theory. Like, if you're going to have a good game or a good series, it's best to do it on a big stage, because in this day and age that we live in, if you do that, you basically can become a star. You don't even need to put in a body of work no more, yo. You know what I'm saying? It's all about when you do what you do. You do it at the right time, and the world loves you, man. It's the Janet theory we talk about, yo. Shout out to Janet. But the Janet theory says, this is World in Sports Science I'm about to drop on you, everybody listening. The Janet theory states that what you do lately is all that matters, end quote. That's the Janet theory. You can find that in the World in Sports book. But
Clay Anthony Early going to be the next Kenny Payne. That's who he is.
Yo, Kenny Payne. He the next Roy Henson. But if you're going to do it at the right time. You know what I'm saying?
All right, screen team.
I got it. Man, so often, man, like, anything else stand out to you at the draft, man? Were you looking at the sartorial game of some of these young gentlemen?
Yeah, I was very disappointed in Andrew Wiggins taking it back to the Three Amigos movie with his jacket.
Yeah, that's one of them things, man, where you're going to look years from now and be like, what the hell?
What the hell was I doing? How did you feel about how did you feel
you're
about
look
the
back
first
and
five
say,
picks?
I was clean.
Are you gonna say what, Beyonce? How I feel about what?
How you feel about the first 5 to 10 picks and where they went?
I mean, it's funny because the first 5 to 10 picks, there was no surprises.
Right.
I was just very ecstatic that Julius Randle fell to where he did, because I was complaining. And you guys can go back and watch, like, the last several episodes of Court Vision, where I kept saying this is who I wanted the Lakers to get. I didn't think it was a chance in hell we would get him, so I was very excited about that. But, you know, it was really no surprises. Like, when you read a lot of the mock drafts, we had a shot to at Brandon on Sports, who was on a Court Vision, who broke down the entire first round. It's kind of what we expected, man. You know, I did want to make one statement in reference to what I'm seeing about the NBA, yo. I see, like, another change, man. The NBA is becoming a rich man sport. All these second-generation ball players, yo, it's like if you don't have the money to have a personal trainer or play AAU by the time you're, 19 months, you may not make it to the league no more. It used to be a bunch of poor dudes that got drafted in the first round. Now it's like, yo, his pop played pro. I think Julius Randle is probably the only dude that got drafted in the top 10 who, came from a fatherless home.
That's why nobody cried at the draft anymore.
They expect that already. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this, the whole game has changed, man. Like, yo, it's the rich man sport now. Just a little social commentary. But anyway, let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. We got our homie on the line who, wants to chop it up with us. We got Tobias, Roll Damn Tide. You know he always represents his squad. Tobias, what's good, brother?
Man, what's good? What's good? All right.
Again.
Let's get a couple things out the way. I'm not surprised that my Bulls traded up to get their next great white shooter who can't do nothing but stay in the corner.
RBG.
Yeah, Doug McDermott. Whoopee. But anyway, before I get on a question I have, Carmelo Anthony going to stay in New York if New York offered him the max. I can't fault him for that, because if they stupidly give him that money and pay him $30 million at 35 years old, that's on them. He has no choice but to take that. And I can't fault him for that. No one should. But the question I have is, let's be honest, NBA free agency has turned to NBA, the big good players stay with re-sign with their team. You remember the owners were all mad during the lockout talking about, oh, we don't want these players to move. We want these players to stay. They make it hard for the players to leave. You know, different money, salaries,
yeah, that extra
and all
money
stuff.
Makes it hard, yeah.
Yeah. So now these teams want to add players, and now they can't add players now. So these owners got what they wanted now.
No, yeah, that's true. But the way I look at it, because we're also in a time where people are going to take, quote-unquote, pay cuts, take less money so they can team up with other guys. But when you sit back and think about it, in reality, you know, I don't think it's really, really that way, because we always talk about the fact that there may be only three or four truly max players in the league at any given time. So, like, let's say for the Heat, for instance, for Bosh and Wade to take less money and LeBron take the max, which is probably going to end up happening there, like, that to me seems like, okay, this is probably what you should have been making anyway, Bosh and Wade, and because there's only one max player on that team. So maybe things, I mean, we're going to give the players,
reception, dude.
Yeah, we're going to give the players the credit for it, but this is probably how it should have been anyway. Like, there was a time, especially like in the late 90s, you know, right at the turn of the century, when every single player in the league who was half decent was getting a max contract. And I'm talking about that Allen Iverson era, and right after that, Allen Iverson, Ray Allen, like you said,
Michael Redd,
like Kenyon Martin, Michael Redd,
Gilbert Arenas still getting paid.
Yeah, they were giving everybody a max contract. So now, like, it's not that they put their foot down on that and saying, okay, all of you guys aren't on the same level and you don't deserve a max. Now it's just these guys, you know, want to have the quote-unquote AAU mentality. That's the running excuse going around why everybody wants to team up. And, you know, some cats are just going to take less in order to get on a team with a couple of other superstars because, their lifestyle is diesel anyway, financially.
I do find it hilarious how LeBron is finally showing he's the alpha male. Like, look, y'all dudes got to take a pay cut because I need my chicken. Like, you know.
But at the same time, I'm still waiting for it to actually happen, because this could be one of those things. This could be calculated by LeBron's camp to further make him look like the good guy. This report could come out that he wants the max.
Yeah.
He can end up negotiating. No, listen, he can end up negotiating.
About nobody no more, yo.
I know. I mean, I don't.
Jimmy,
media posturing is.
I do know that.
So
but
like,
I just find it funny that
this,
you don't trust nothing or nobody.
This report could come out, because you got to show me. This report could come out, you know what I'm saying, saying LeBron wants the max. He can end up negotiating less than the max so they can get more players on the team, and then he looks like the hero. I mean, it would have been the same thing anyway if you just take less. But for this to come out saying he wants this, it makes him look even less selfish, because everybody knows that he wants the max, but he ended up not taking the max. So, I mean, they might do it as planned and he get his max, but don't be surprised if he takes less and then all of his –
Shout out to Maverick Carter, man. Maverick Carter is laying a blueprint down for how to manage an athlete, man. Shout out to Maverick Carter, man.
Maverick is putting the work in. But let me ask you guys this.
Well, this is 4 years.
When Dwayne Wade opted out, did he lose $20 million or $40 million on the table?
He had 2 years left on his contract. He left over $40 million on the table. He's not really – I mean, because the running speculation is that they'll give him a longer contract that gives him that money anyway. But I really don't buy that as being – as equaling out, because I think they were going to re-sign Dwayne Wade, you know, either way. They're not going to let him walk. So let him get his – you know, if he got his $40 million over these next 2 years, I still don't see him after that just saying, all right, Dwayne Wade, you got to roll. So he might have got his $40 million for these 2 years, and then he might have went to down to like the mid-level exception type guy for the next 2 years if his knees could hold out. So he's still getting extra money. Now people are saying he might just stretch it out 4 years and get his $40 million. But I don't understand why people keep saying that and they're not understanding that that doesn't even out.
You know one thing, though?
He's leaving
Everybody's been hard on Chris Bosh, but this guy pretty much went from 20 and 10 in the post to stay in the corner like he's John Paxson. He had to change his game, and everybody's getting on him. This man changed his game. And so if I was him, he already got the rings. Go somewhere else like L.A. who could use you, and you can play your game.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. They didn't get the not six, not seven, not eight. But what you did, did by teaming up, it worked. They went to four straight finals. They won two NBA championships back-to-back. It worked. So So I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think Bosch should pack up, go somewhere else. You know, even if you're going to take less money, go somewhere else where you can at least take less money and play your game. Now you got a whole country of fans who forgot what you can do. And, you know, like you said, they're getting on you like you don't have any game and you're not worth the money that you're getting paid. But they forgot. Dude was 24-11 before he came there.
Listen, man.
And he was a stud in the post, outside of the post. Now he's just a spot-up three-point shooter. That's a shame.
He ain't going nowhere.
At 6'11".
Oh, no, he ain't. He ain't, but he should.
He enjoys the diabetic lifestyle that Miami affords him. So he's staying right down there in Miami. And, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He's going to do what he got to do. But, you know, it's a sad thing, man. But
DNA ball.
The Heat will be back, so we might as well get used to it, man.
Hey, but I know I got to go, but I'll say this real quick. I was doing the Daniel Bryan yes chant when I read the report they're going to amnesty Carlos Boozer. And, you know, and what do y'all – I don't know y'all covered it yet, but – what do y'all think would the narrative be on Carmelo Anthony if he decides to take the money, even though he had multiple max contracts, over going to another team with a chance to win? Yes, I'm begging him to go to Chicago because I'm tired of watching Kirk Henry take shots, you know, in the shot clock.
I mean, I think the narrative is going to be an unfair one. He's going to get criticized by millions of people who would do
the
same damn thing if they had the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? If somebody told you you can get a contract like this or you can get one that's worth $30 million more, everybody who will criticize him would do the same thing. So, I mean, that's going to be the narrative. It's going to be an unfair one. But, I mean, it's questionable, though. The Knicks don't seem like they want to just fork over the max to him. So that's the whole – and they're actually talking to him tonight in L.A. after his meeting with the Lakers. So –
It's hilarious to me, man, because we have this thing where we, you know, and I'm guilty of it as well. We just assume that athletes care about, to quote my brother, competitive greatness or winning championships or being great and being remembered. But they're humans. A lot of these guys don't even care about that. I mean, Steve Nash straight came out and said, yo, they got to pay me. I'm going to sit on the bench and they're going to pay me. Like, some guys feel that way. And at the end of the day, when Carmelo looks around and he's trying to figure out where can I really go to compete versus making this money.
But it's not either or, Jimmy. And Steve Nash is a bad example because at this point in his career, his legacy is set and he can afford to say, I'll take $10 million because he's a two-time MVP and he's headed to the Hall of Fame.
But
so
I'm not juxtaposing him to Carmelo. I'm saying the attitude like, yo, I'm going to get paid to sit here. He came out and said, yo, if they have to pay me and I have to sit here, I'm going to do that. There are guys that feel that way coming in the league. Some guys don't care about being the best or winning. They only play basketball or football, whatever it may be, because of the lifestyle it provides them. I think
Jimmy, in my opinion, the top guys who do care or who appear to care, that's only because the pressure of the past. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
LeBron cares so much about winning championships because that's the only thing he's being judged by. Because he's being compared to the greats. He's being compared to Jordan and you know, those type of guys. So if that pressure wasn't there, and we always say, you know, as good as Michael Jordan was for the game, he was bad for the future of the game because the pressure that it puts on players of today, if that pressure wasn't there, come on, LeBron would probably be like, yo, I'm taking the max every single time. But the reason somebody in LeBron's shoes can take less money is because he's making boatloads of money off the court, and a lot of other guys aren't doing that. So they're like, you know, pay cut my ass. Like, come on, who else going to pay me? So
thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, good brother.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Yo, we get so into it. We
just
be leaving callers on the line. We get so into it.
I know, as we sit there and talk. But, be honest, I was just saying that because, like, yo, I know for a fact some of these dudes just don't care. It's about that chicken, man. I was talking to a gentleman who played for the Eagles last week. I'm not going to name his name and put him out there. But he told me, like, look, when I got in the league, I didn't care about no championship. He played on the team with Randall Cunningham. He's like, yo, I didn't care about no championship, what Buddy was saying. I was just trying to stack as much money as I can. That's what I came into the league for. And this is real talk. So, I mean, I know there are guys that feel that way now, even guys who have a lot of talent. Like, they'd rather be doing something else. They'd rather be in the crib playing spades or something.
I think there's a lot of people who feel that way that go on
been
TV
there,
and say,
but the question is, now is it the prevailing wind? Is that the wind of change? Like, this is what sports is, or is there still, you know, a commitment to, I don't want to say winning championships or this or that, just competition, competitive grit. Yo, I want to make money busting ass.
Yo, I think that it's always been there. I just think that there were certain guys, whether we're talking Bird or Magic, who basically, you know, had the mentality of, yo, I need to win at all costs. I think there's always certain guys that have that. I can tell you from, you
and
know,
they,
doing
they
a little
kind of carry the narrative of the league, and it's really
yeah. I can tell you, I can tell you, like, you know, from doing the research and reading Wilt's books, that Wilt, like, you know, didn't care about some of the things that we assume he should care about. He loved the lifestyle provided him, the amount of young ladies' moisture he was able to attract, and he talked openly about that in his book. You know, so for him, it was about the lifestyle provided him. He just happened to be a tar. What else? He said, basically, what else am I going to do to make this kind of money at my size?
I feel that with Wilt, and Wilt was, well, Wilt is considered kind of an anomaly for that. As much as we laud him and praise as we heap upon him as a society when we look back at the stats and production, there's undertones of criticism like, yo, Will really didn't care. He was just that gifted.
No, look at our generation. Look at Shaq. I mean, you know, Shaq's another guy who enjoyed the lifestyle this provided him. Shaq on the low is getting his magic on. Shaq is going to have a beef soon. He's making a lot of. I read an article about Shaq in Forbes magazine in terms of his business moves, and he's been doing this since day one. And it's another one of those situations. Shaq did this because he's 7'2". What else am I going to do? Shaq took the game serious probably 3 years. In those 3 years, he was the best player in the world.
Yeah. No, and Jimmy, and everybody knows that because Shaq's move from Orlando to L.A. had nothing to do with
basketball
opportunities to win championship. He was on a better team initially in Orlando.
Exactly,
they had been to the finals already.
I'm throwing my mobile game up. He said, look, I got to live a lot longer than after this game is over. And that's a lot of – and the thing about it is he has
to
what's happening. A lot of dudes are waking up to that, and I don't know if that's a good thing for the sport, but a lot of guys are like, look, you know, they see all the athletes that are going broke and all these other things, so they actually come into the league worrying about their brand as opposed to the competitive greatness. They you know, these guys are watching what they say, how they dress, even down to everybody having a stylist now. So I don't know what that does to the whole competitive greatness, but taking it back to the draft
– Chad's come in the league with a stylist, a publicist, a business manager, and an agent. They have a full business team lined up, but are they paying attention to their craft? And see, that whole modus operandi for me contributes to the quality of the product headed downward. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no doubt,
it does.
But that's from your fan perspective, of course. From your businessman perspective, I'm pretty sure you respect the hustle. But as a basketball fan, I'm like, look,
the
product is trash.
Oh, I love it.
Because of what y'all care about. So, you know, you just got to look at it from different perspectives.
From from a business perspective, I respect it. I said I love it, but then let me revise that statement as well. You can only survive so long with all of the infrastructure for supporting a product, but the product is poopy. You can only survive so long on all the trappings of great marketing. You have great marketing,
Right, you have a son, man. A word on the street, your son is one of the best wing defenders under 10 years old in the Maryland area. So, like, if your son grows up and becomes a professional basketball player, are you going to, like, you know, are you going to provide him with those things in terms of having his full team in place to go, like, head on into business? Because now guys are looking at themselves as a businessman as opposed to an NBA player.
Yeah, definitely. But I would say that both my wife and I, his mother, are committed to him developing as a human being and as a man, him developing as a human being and as a man in other facets of his life so that some of the values and the character things will translate into basketball. You know, so that's kind of my thing with developing Jimin all around, and that you know, that's the greatest under 6 year old wing defender in currently in AAU and oh man, Rec Center League hooping. CTE.
No doubt. CTE gets you every time. All right, so yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's up with this whole Jason Kidd situation? Or do we have somebody want to talk about what we were talking about before we move on, Jeff?
Yeah. Let's get the homie online. Let's get the homie Phil from Tissue and a Tape podcast, which is on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. The homie Phil Maddox. Phil.
Absolutely.
Phil,
what's up, y'all?
What's
going on? Phil. Hey, man. Hey, I just wanted to, like, I heard y'all talking. It was crazy because I was just kind of having this conversation with my uncle the other day about NBA players as brands unto themselves, and
right.
it's what it's going to, man. It's like the way Michael Jordan affected basketball on the court and off the court changed everything. So everybody thinks they're going to be Michael Jordan on the court and off the court, and then it just, like you mentioned Shaq, and then later on LeBron, and to a lesser extent Kobe. Their brands into themselves, and you know, they're, you know, but it all started with them being great players. Everybody,
right.
Just like everybody's not going to be Michael Jordan on the court, everybody's not going to be him off the court because it starts with being a good player.
A lot of dudes come in with that plan, but then if they get on the court and that's not working for them, then they got to scrap that plan.
there's also examples of guys who weren't at that level. But because they
right.
came in with a team and were smart, I'll give you an example being Jamal Mashburn. Now, he was a great player. He wasn't a Kobe, Michael Jordan, LeBron James player, but he's now one of the wealthiest, post-career athletes. I mean,
You know what, I want to make a distinction between what we're talking about and what my perception of what Jamal Mashburn is. Is an intelligent businessman. He's not selling himself as just a brand, and the fact of who I am justifies me getting certain money.
If you read his story, that is how he started. But what he did was he recognized that his brand wasn't what it was based in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So he
right.
went back to Kentucky and sold his brand in Kentucky. Started with like car lots of Jamal Mashburn and people who were, you know, Kentucky fans. You know,
right.
basically supported him because he was Jamal Mashburn of Kentucky. That is how he started, by selling that brand, the collegiate brand. But my point being is a lot of these guys don't want to end up on broke, so they do things. But the question becomes, how does it affect the game? So what do you think about that?
It definitely takes away from the game because you have a lot of people, like, they're not focused on – the game. I mean, you know, I Herman Edwards, you know, the famous quote, you play to win the game. And a lot of people, as long as they check cash, you know, and then they feed their family free will style, they don't, you know, if they get X'd out in the first round of the playoffs, they good. You know,
cool.
Money's guaranteed.
Hello?
You know, so, and
you
play
to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
No, that definitely makes a lot of sense because and it also speaks to the mentality today. Everybody wants to be friends and this and that, and nobody wants to just kill each other anymore. And I'm not saying back in the day dudes used to hate each other because they could speak before and after the game, but you know, dudes just they wanted to kill each other. Like they weren't really.
I've literally heard professional basketball players call each other coworkers. You know, we're in the same team together.
No.
We're coworkers. Like they actually refer to themselves as coworkers. You know what I mean? So
hated Patrick Ewing on the court, and that's one of his best friends to this day. But he hated him on the court. He went to school with James Worthy. He tried to kill him in the finals, and yeah, I mean, so, but yeah, the way the whole league is so crazy. That everybody's all friends, but it's just, I mean, and it's cool that they friends, but it should never get in the way of the ultimate goal, which is to get the ring, because that's how the brands get built. I mean,
I mean, you see how they're doing it. They're using the friendships to get the rings now. So they always find a way. They're gonna find a way.
This is a microcosm of society. I mean, let's look at your podcast is hip hop. Look at hip hop. Everybody, nobody hates each other no more. Everybody wants to do songs. I blame DJ Khaled for all that.
Kendrick Lamar came through and took shots at everyone, and no one shot back that he shot at.
But that's my point is, it's sort of like Dev said that LeBron James is the Drake of the NBA. Like, yo, he's winning, but he wants to be everybody's friend. You know, he's soft, but at the end of the day,
he could be the alpha male in the whole thing, but he wants to be everybody else's friend, and that kind of reminds me of Drake. Like, Drake always posed up in pictures smiling with people that he's
more friends with.
Drake is actually
nice when he raps.
And LeBron is the best player when he balls out, you know what I'm saying? But we all know that when LeBron is in the locker room getting ready for the game and he has his beats on, he's listening to this. I mean, we already know that. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, man, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, man.
No, with Drake, though, that's funny, but Drake, like you said, he is nice, and he will get at people. Well, I mean, like 0 to 100. I mean, obviously, you know who he's talking to. But
LeBron gets that cats in the court at times, too, though.
But that's what I'm saying. I wanted to talk about the point. He's like, he's getting rings being friends, but he still has the talent. Dwayne Wade, well, not now, but when they started the run, he had the talent. Chris Bosh, for all the flack he gets, is a talented basketball player. But the way everything is now, people don't necessarily care as much about winning as they do in the brand. Like, they'll sit out games, you know. I mean, Ronnie Lott got cut his pinky off to keep playing, and you'll never get nobody like that. That's like, I'll get another pinky or whatever. It's not happening, you know.
See, I understand that point, Phil. Even because my original rebuttal was, well, they team up to get the ring now, but you can kind of tell. I mean, look at the finals that just finished. Like, okay, they didn't get their three-peat, but nobody really looked like they were that. You know, like, okay, we lost.
They wasn't mad.
Where my check?
No, somebody was
like, yeah, where my check?
Like,
the first time they lost, like, you know, Chris Bosh was crying. That's just because he Chris Bosh when they lost to Dallas. But, yo, really, like, they just lost, and it was like, okay, like,
yo,
all right, where my next check coming from? Let me go check on this, you know?
Yeah, they
probably left the court, sent a text, like, that Beats money getting my account yet? Like, like, dude.
LeBron left that game and he went and hit up Melo and was like, yo.
Roll with us, cause you know we got it. We pump. Roll with us, cause you know we got it. We pump.
A week later, they were taking selfies together. Taking selfies on Instagram.
Yeah, they definitely were. Yo, and they were in a tub. Never mind. I mean, say nothing.
Yo,
no.
The check's cash, that's why. The playoff check cash.
Bob, I feel some type of way about it. So and we've known each other for like 20 years. People just don't have the competitive spirit. Like, it's because I think it goes to a whole larger, you know, facet of American culture where everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy.
That
is the theme of this show. We need to change the name of this show, Dev, to Everybody Gets a Trophy. Because that is like an overlying theme in this show when we talk about...
We talked about that earlier, Phil, with
how the U.S.
soccer
team is being celebrated for losing.
Yeah. Nah, man. Young boys, I mean, like, we're probably in the last generation that, you know, actually was like y'all was whacked. y'all suck or whatever, and didn't get nothing for losing. You know, if you came in 15th place, you didn't get a 15th place little trophy.
I mean, you just like, yo, you got to step your game up.
You probably got some Gatorade. They probably gave you some free Gatorade.
And that separated the Michael Jordans from Harold Miners. And, like, it's a whole bunch of Harold Miner dudes, you know, thinking they Michael Jordan. And people telling them they Michael Jordan, and they start believing it. You know, and then you got Harold Miner kicks out on the stores. You know, if that's what you
know. But that is true. But it also goes back to, we talk about American culture and how we act towards celebrities, because these Harold Miners walking around, let's just call them Harold Miners. These Harold Miners walking around, people treat them in the streets and in society like they're Jordan.
So
it's a celebrity culture.
Social media,
and that comes from a lack of dads, and then hero worship becomes prevalent. These cats are looking for leaders and heroes, and they find these dudes that are also as dysfunctional as they are. But we're not trying to go this deep with it, are we?
Because the lack of dads is all a representation of what happened under Ronald Reagan. So that's what it all goes back to. Ronald Reagan. He ruined the NBA,
all
too.
All Reagan fault, y'all. Cocaine 80s, Ronald Reagan.
Already know Ronald Reagan ruined the NBA, man. Hey, Phil, man, thanks for the call, man. Everybody check out Phil. Tissue in the Tape podcast, which is on the War Room Sports Podcast Network, WRSPN.com. Phil, we'll talk to you, good brother.
All right, before I go, I just want to say thank you to y'all, man, for everything, man. Thank y'all.
Thank you, already know, man.
You too.
You already know. All right, homie.
Leave a lot of War Room Sports.
No doubt. All right, man.
All right, y'all. Work.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. See?
That's
everybody.
That's what the name of the show is. Everybody gets a trophy. Trophy, man. Yo, that's the greatest point you made this show, yo. When they lost, they didn't even care.
Man, we always try to read body language and human emotion, which is probably not the right thing to do, because we don't know how people react to things. But actually, that's not true, because we've seen these same dudes upset before. Like you said, like if Bosh is crying, then it's a problem. If Bosh not boo-hooing,
90% of communication is nonverbal, man. I could tell when somebody wants to stand up. When she grin, I'm in game again.
I never give your man Derek Fisher any regard or props, but the last time the Lakers lost the chip,
he cried every time.
Yo, my man was in the middle of the floor bawling. He went over to the sidelines and was bawling.
He looked like he found out Ricky Baker just died. Like, he was going through it.
He wanted to win.
Like, Derek,
these dudes were taking selfies.
Derek Fisher cried after losing, like, the fourth game of the season, the regular season.
Yo, but Derek Fisher, one thing you can say about Derek Fisher, and I give him credit for this, he always did. He wanted to compete and he wanted to win. Like, he's from that generation, too, though. Like, he ain't the best player at all.
Yo, Jimmy, I'm going to tell you honestly, I know deep down inside he might know that he's garbage, but on most levels, Derek Fisher doesn't believe that he's trash. He thinks he's good. He's out there trying to compete.
Listen, man, it's the reason why Kobe holds him in such high regard, because regardless of what you think about his game, like, he's from that generation. And Kobe is sort of like the last of a dying breed. Kobe and KG, these guys who care that much. Like, KG cares about winning so much that he's walking around looking like a shell of himself, putting up like 6-6. But he still wants to win.
Yo,
he still wants to win, though. You can tell when he plays.
Yo.
Like, his body won't cooperate, but KG be wanting to win, yo.
Like, two things. Like, the Derek Fisher thing, yeah, like, Kobe looks at him as the type of dude you want to be in a foxhole with. And then the KG thing, Jimmy, you're absolutely right. Like, because he's walking around looking like trash, but he's so competitive that he doesn't want to give up trying as long as he thinks his team has an inkling of a chance. And then you can look at it with his relationships. Like, he's so competitive. He wants to win so much that he hasn't even spoken to Ray Allen for 2 years. Because
he's real about
you,
this,
you
bust
our
like,
thing
so
up. Like,
it.
We could have been competing against these dudes for titles. You went there like, KG, y'all aren't even good enough to do that. But he still thinks so. So he's mad at the dude
like,
for 2 years.
I respect KG so much, man, but it, like, hurts me to watch him play because I really at times forget.
A lot of other people really forget. Yeah,
I definitely forget watching, like, yo, this dude used to be literally, like, you know, one of the top three, if not the best player in the league at one point. Like, KG was a beast, but it's like his body won't cooperate anymore. But he is from that generation as well, and so is Kobe.
I saw KG get 20, 20, 20, 20, and 20.
Yeah, he used to be that type of dude.
Yo, when these guys leave the league and the league is left to the people after them, yo, I can see our show turning into us getting on the air every week just being bitter.
I know.
People get on every week and just ram on people.
Trash truck juice. No, but that's the nickname. Remember, we used to call him that, too. Like, when me and Austin, we had no life but sitting in the crib watching League Pass. Dude, his nickname was 20, 20, 20, and 20. Yo, his nickname was long as hell, but his nickname was 20, 20, 20, and 20.
He 20 in any one of them categories. Yo, real quick, though, in terms of the whole JCK thing, we got off on a long tangent, but that's what we do. Anyway, how do you feel about coaches getting traded, though? Like, are you cool with that? Like, because, you know, doesn't happen that often, but how you feel about teams getting compensated for coaches?
I mean, it's starting to be that thing where people are like, look, I got to get something for this dude if y'all going to snatch him. Good, Bill.
No, I said I think it's stupid, but I don't know why. Like, I don't have a real logical reason to be against it.
Just because it just doesn't sound right. Like, it's
don't
not
sound
right.
Teams are scared to do what Donald Sterling used to do. Donald Sterling was fire his coach and, like, you know, just straight won't pay him, even though he has a contract so he's supposed to pay him. They said every coach that he fired, he used to end up in court with him because he was like, yo, you ain't my coach, I ain't paying you. He's like, well, we got a contract. He's like, no, I don't care.
I don't care about no contract. But, yeah, that whole thing was crazy. Jason Kidd went to the Nets with the power move. They told him FOH. You know, the person I feel sorry for in this whole thing is Larry Drew. But I see a lot of people blaming Jason Kidd for that. Milwaukee invited him in for an interview, and they must have talked to him beforehand because he kind of knew he could run this power move because he had something to fall back on. So as much flack as he's getting for taking this man's job, like, people need to look at the Milwaukee Bucks as well because they obviously wanted Jason Kidd over Larry Drew. So he's there, Larry Drew's out of a job, and Lionel Hollins is in Brooklyn now, so. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, he and one of the owners are real tight. They're real close.
Yeah. So he had that as a fallback. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody's just blaming Kidd. Like, you just take that man's job. You take food off his table. Like, Milwaukee took food off his table.
The minor theme in today's show, and you know, back to Eric Sherman and Parrish Smith, yo, is business, never personal.
Business,
seem to forget that this is, you know, it's business and other personal.
Yo, I'd offer Larry Drew a spot on my staff. He'd probably turn it down, but, hey, I tried. I tried to put some food on your family. So.
Yo, business, yo, never personal, man. That's the second thing. Everybody gets a trophy and it's business, man, because that's what it is, man. Like, let me ask you guys another question. There's been a lot of signings, Kyrie Irving and all that. What do you guys think about Gordon Hayward getting the max deal? Real quick.
Well, I mean, he hasn't actually yet, but they said the Cavs are prepping to do that because they can't get in touch with LeBron. I still don't know why people thought he was going to come there anyway, but Hayward,
I think he's a good player,
but max deal? Nah, I don't see max deal. I mean, he was like a, 13-5-5 guy?
That's what I'm saying. Be Austin, how you feel about Gordon Hayward possibly getting a max deal?
I ain't going to diss Gordon, but
Gordon
is a
max player in his own family.
Hey, business is business, B. Go get what you can get. If Cleveland going to pay you that, then let Cleveland
pay
you that.
I'm not mad at him.
Yeah. I know. That was just that wasn't towards anybody. But, no, shout out to him. Kyle Lowry stayed in Toronto 4 years, $48 million. Heat probably mad about that. Pacers offered Lance 5 years, $44 million. Lance says he's worth more. Gasol being courted by the Thunder. The big three already know the big three all opted out. LeBron wants a max. That's what's going on in the NBA right now, man. Everybody, Melo.
I told y'all.
Melo,
I told y'all 2 years ago that Lance was going to trip when contract time came. I told you he was going to trip.
Yo, Lance started in the playoffs tripping with all the nonsense he was doing, man. We got to get out of here, man. Basically, in the NBA, everybody trying to get paid, man. Everybody gets a trophy, and it's business, never personal, yo. But thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good folks. Shout out to everybody in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, all the calls you chimed in, and holler at us. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live, right here, on demand, on the War Room Sports Podcast Network for some more great sports talk. We'll be discussing all the big stories of the week and you know, inching closer to football season. Everybody can't wait. I'm talking about American football. So until then, enjoy the rest of the World Cup if you care. Enjoy Major League Baseball. Oh, it's so dry in sports. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter. That's at War Room Sports, of course. And our video content, warroomsportstv.com. All of our network shows at wrspn.com. And until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's knocked out.
Call it
323, flipping 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.